Wanted to before I start the sermon this morning, I wanted to report to you something that's going on in our community that I think you should be aware of. That's really a pretty cool thing. Myself and our staff, the ministry staff team, we went to Luther's encampment Monday and Tuesday morning this past week, and we gathered with about 70 other leaders in our community, church leaders and civic leaders. We had the chief of police there, and our fire chief was there, and many nonprofit organization heads were there, and staff from churches and pastors and so on and so forth. And around 70 of us, and we gathered together with one very simple purpose: to seek the heart of God for our community. And I tell you, it's one thing when churches gather together to seek the heart of God for the community. That's one thing. But when we have civic leaders and our city government gather in the name of Jesus to seek His heart and His rich blessing on our community, that is unique. Does anybody besides me understand that? That is a unique thing. And so I'm thankful for a city that places Jesus high and lifted up. And what's really cool is we came together, we had all flavors of us, different denominations and different backgrounds, and probably different places spiritually with their walk with the Lord. But we came in common solidarity to lift high the name of Jesus and to ask His blessing on our community. And that will... That was not a one-time effort. That will be an ongoing thing that we will do periodically, and I thought that you would want to know about that. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and he... First couple of verses here that we're going to read are the very core and foundation of our faith. So I want to pick up in chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. I want to read that again. Now listen to this. It doesn't say we earn our salvation. It doesn't say if you're really, really good, then someday maybe you get to go to heaven. That's not what it says. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That's the plan of salvation right there. Verse 10, for we are God's workmanship. Another word that I like actually better there is masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy that makes us right before you. Now I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and speak in power and authority, and don't leave us the way we are. Change us, O God. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Want to kind of lead in this sermon is a standalone sermon this week. I want to thank Jordan Payne for bringing it last week. You the man. Good job. Good job. I never worry about when Jordan is in the pulpit. He might get a little bit crazy and fired up and use some college words, but the man brings the gospel. I've never even heard some of those college words before. It's pretty amazing. But today's sermon: you are God's masterpiece. Do you feel that? I mean, if truth be told, sometimes we feel like a failure, don't we? Sometimes we feel insufficient. You don't ever have to take that baby out, boy. I love hearing babies cry. That's a great sound. Don't ever worry about that. It's a music to God's ears. That's right. That's God's masterpiece. Go change that masterpiece's diaper there, Jesse. That's really a work of art. I don't even know if I want to see that one. Now that I've embarrassed the Moosbrugger family, I can move on. But sometimes we don't feel that, do we, church? We feel like we don't measure up, like we fail God, like, well, he can't use me, and all of these different things. But I want to tell you, that's a lie from the enemy. You are God's masterpiece. It says it right here in God's Word. I showed these a few years ago, but I thought it was, they're so amazing that I wanted to show them to you again in case you missed it. There is a man named Kenneth Lebrecht, I think is how he pronounces his name, and he has spent his life, you know what that is? That is a real, genuine, homemade, God-made snowflake. That's not a drawing, it's not an artist's rendering of a snowflake. That is the real deal. He has this specifically designed photo microscope where he can capture a snowflake as it falls, when it falls. Just show us, look at all these. Now I want you to notice every one. These are just a few samples. I think it's called snowcrystals.com. You can go out there and actually see dozens and dozens and dozens of these things. And every one of them are unique and beautiful, by the way. These are, hang on just a second, slow down there, Speedy back there. look at the intricate detail of that. Who can do that but God? Who can do that but God? All right, go ahead, Speedy. Look at that. That is a snowflake designed by the very finger of God. Now, I want to show you, the next slide we're going to show you, anybody ever been skiing when they don't have enough snow? What do? They whoop out the snow machines, don't they? And they produce snow. You ever skied on man-made snow? It kind of stinks, man. It's not the same. Let me show you what a snowflake looks like when we make it. That is man-made snow. No lie. How many of us have tried to make our own snow when God is the real deal? How many of us, when we try, that's what it ends up looking like? Probably just me. Did you know that in this, again, this same gentleman who photographed these, his whole life is snowflakes. I mean, wouldn't that be cool to have just your whole life is about snowflakes? He has determined that in one cubic foot, a foot, and you just cube it, that's what a cubic foot is. I mean, you know, the things you learn coming to this church. I'm sorry, math was never my strength, so I have to explain it as if it were me listening. There's 18 million unique, one-of-a-kind snowflakes in a cube of snow. Hello. Only the finger of God can do that. You and I can't do it. If God takes such care in creating these individual, unique, beautiful snowflakes, how much more attention do you think he made to creating us? You see, the problem is that sin, we all know, sin gets in the mix and it messes things up. And suddenly we look like that blob of man-made snow. And so there's this idea of pressing back in to the to the Creator that has designed us very, very specifically and very, very beautifully. I want to hit a few points here as we look at this scripture today. Number one, God created you as one of a kind. Did you know that there is no one else that can do for the kingdom of God what you can do? Because there's no one like you. And I know a few of you, and I thank God for that. There's no one else like you. Hey. You took that personal, farmer. I didn't say your name. You know, when you're convicted and I don't even say your name, that's bad, brother. That's bad. But there, I tell people that, you know, and many times this is only God can do this. He can take the sin and the gunk in our life that He has cleansed us of and He has transformed us from, and He can take that very sin and that very brokenness and use it so powerfully in the kingdom of God. And so if someone is struggling with alcoholism, I've had a lot of other things in my life, but I have not had that particular struggle in my life. Someone who has struggled with that and who God has freed them from that, man, what a unique opportunity to be the person God has created you to be and minister to God's people and to be about His kingdom business. God has created you as one of a kind, and our experiences mold us and form us the way God has designed us. Listen to God's word. If you don't believe me, listen to God's word. In Genesis, it says in the creation story, the Lord God formed the man from the dust, from this big old pile of dust, from dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God created us very specifically in His image. And then it says, the Lord God made a woman from the rib He had taken from the man. He and then Psalms 139, the psalmist says, for you, O God, created me my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know that, church? Do you know that you're God's masterpiece? And He wants to use you. The second thing that moves me into this second thing, that God created you, this wonderful masterpiece, with a purpose. And the purpose, contrary to what we hear growing up as Christians many times, is the purpose is not just to go to heaven. Jesus didn't just hang on a cross for us just so that we could be reconciled and go to heaven. He hung on a cross for us so we could be reconciled to God, so we could bring God glory. Amen. The word that we looked at today in Ephesians 2, you are God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus with a purpose to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. The psalmist again in 139 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has a plan for you and for me. A very specific plan. And it's not just to get our ticket and to put it in our pocket and hang on to it till we die someday. That's not His plan. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Psalm 33, the psalmist says, from heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place He watches all who live on earth. He who forms the heart of all and who considers everything we do. Did you know God considers everything we do? He has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. The third thing I want us to talk about, your purpose is to bring God glory. You know, if we're not careful, church, we can get so busy serving God that we forget why we're serving God. You know, on Easter, a couple of weeks ago, I, I, I laid out this vision for us to build Russell's house. If you weren't here on Easter, I encourage you to get the DVD because it'll catch you up with where I think we're going these next few months as a church. And I set out this vision for us to build Russell's house like we built Granny's house 8 years ago. And many of you, and many who aren't here today have responded and says, I want in. Count me in on that. But if we're not careful, all it becomes is just building a house. Just building a house. But see, God doesn't want us to just build a house. He wants us to bring Him glory through building a house. Everything we do, how we treat people, how we treat our wives and our husbands, how we treat our children, how we treat strangers. And we just kind of went through that, a series of that. But how we treat people, is it bringing God glory? The way you treat your spouse, does that bring God glory? Our life, everything about it should bring God glory as we serve Him through serving others. God formed me in the womb to be His servant. Isaiah 43. Bring my sons from afar. This is the God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. So we have been created. We're the ice crystal, the snowflake that has been created. When you look at those, does that not just bring God glory? When you look at that, you go, golly, man, God is awesome. And none of them are the same. Every time a snowflake falls, it's unique and it has its unique shape created by the finger of God. And that's the way we are. Also in Isaiah 43, God speaking through Isaiah, I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself. Listen, that they may proclaim my praise. And so I want to ask it again. Does your life have purpose, and is that purpose to bring glory to God? Tough question, huh? You know, stuff gets in the way, doesn't it, church? I confess, for me, stuff is things like TV. Pretty harmless device. Ain't nothing wrong with TV. But when it starts getting in the way of who God has created me to be, Houston, we have a problem. What gets in your way of who God has created you to be? And the fourth thing I want us to look at, and this is the tough one, is that God matures us. His purposes are fulfilled in us through trials. Don't you hate that? Anybody but me hate that? Oh, man. James, in James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers. Oh, yeah, this is pure joy. When you face trials of many kinds, hot dog. That's what it should say. That's the Jeff Hatcher translation. Just say hot dog when you face trials of many kinds. But here, listen to the rest of it. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Who's been, and I would ask you to raise your hand in this, who has been brought closer to God in their life through trials? Holy moly. Almost all of us. And probably, if truth be known, all of us. See, the testing of our faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be what? Mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I love in Ephesians 4, I've listed most of that verse for you in your handout. I'm not going to read it all. But basically it's saying that we are to be pressing into God, and our goal is to to be mature. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. You know, and I was talking about children in the sanctuary and crying, and you know, little babies, they don't know what's appropriate. They don't know that how they behave in church might disrupt some this or that, do they? They're infants. That's what they do. And what Paul is saying is, Christians, are you still doing that? Is that who you are in Christ? And this is kind of tacky, but I feel led to say it, so I'm just going to say it. Do we still poop our diapers, Christians? Our spiritual diapers? The scriptures has a little more tack. It says, are we still on milk when we should be on solid food? But I felt the call to say we poop our diapers. I'm not sure that was from God, but is that who we are, Christians? God has created us as masterpieces, His masterpieces. He's called us with a purpose, and His purpose is to glorify Him. And so the question is, are we still pooping our spiritual diapers? Man, I hate it when God starts meddling, don't you? I dabble, and I know there's two or three others here in the church that do. I dabble a little bit with stained glass, very little. I've only made a few pieces in my entire stained glass life, but my pieces have been very specific with a very specific purpose, and with that purpose in mind. A few years ago, I had made. My first piece was for my mom and dad, and they have that hanging in their house, and it was pretty rough, but they like it because their son made it for them. And I got a little better as I went along, and I'd made some pieces, and one day Cheryl's dad said for Christmas, he said, you know, Jeff, what I'd want for Christmas? And I said, what do you want? And he said, I'd like you to make me something in stained glass. And he had, I think in his mind, he had some little, you know, tree ornament or some little trinket or something. And he likes eagles. And I got this big, humongous pattern of an eagle with his wings spread. And I made this, and I spent hours and hours. And I don't know if y'all remember, but it broke him down. When I gave him that at Christmas, it broke him down because he wasn't expecting that. But I remember not too long after that, I may get emotional, I'm sorry. But I had in mind to make something for my bride. And I wanted, you know, my motive was my love for my wife. And I began to envision what can I create that will bless my wife. And she, y'all have heard me talk many times. She likes gardening and she likes working in the yard and all. And one of her favorite flowers is tulips. And so I searched high and low and I found this tulip pattern. And I got it just the way I wanted it. And I just began to work on this. And it was a big pattern. And I began to work on that, and I began to envision that, and I started with some raw materials. I wanted Lee to show you kind of just an idea of what you start with. Some glass standing up there and some racks, and you got some tools there, and soldering iron, and grinder, and glass cutters, and chippers, and all of that kind of stuff. And so I started with just this image in my mind and this love for my wife, and I wanted to create this, and I just started with these raw and broken materials, and I began to piece them together, and I would cut them out, and I would grind until it was just the right shape that I wanted it to be, so that it would fit just right where I wanted it to go, and I began to work, and again, my motive the entire time was love for my wife. And If I break this, I'm dead meat. And that's what I came up with. And I'm just, y'all, if y'all been here very long, you know this to be true. I'm just an old knucklehead. I mean, I'm just an old knucklehead guy. And if I can create that out of my love for my wife, how much more can an all-powerful God do in us? I mean, what a masterpiece He's capable of creating in us. And sometimes we have it hanging in we got a big glass window in our bathroom and the big blocks, and we've got it hanging in front of that. And every once in a while, and Cheryl doesn't know I do it, but I just look at it and I smile. And I go, I can't believe I did that. That turned out pretty good. And I just smile at this creation. And when I see it, I think, I hope my wife likes that. And I hope that somehow it blesses her. And don't you think God stands back and looks at us and go, man, I hope that you bring glory to me. Are you bringing glory to me? You, church, are God's original creation, His masterpiece. God imagined you before you were born. He made you. He formed you. He shaped you. He knit you together. He breathed His very breath into you. Don't you love that? We're carrying around the very breath of God in us. He ordained all your days to bring Him glory because He loves you. If you would, I just ask you to bow your heads. If Terry would come and play for just a second here, I want to guide you through a little prayer exercise here. You know, the enemy tries his best to convince us that we are worthless. That's what he does. And that's his goal in life, is to steal, kill, and destroy us, and to convince us that we are worthless. And God has shown us that we are priceless by hanging on a cross. So if you'd pray with me, just let me kind of guide us through this time. Respond however the Lord leads you to respond. Father, I know that there are people here today who've never really accepted themselves. There are parts of their life, the way they look, the way they act, their talents, their background or past or whatever, that they don't like. They've rejected themselves. Father, that's really ultimately a rejection of you. It's doubting that you know best. It's doubting that you love us. It's wishing that we were copies of somebody else instead of the original you've created us to be. Heal us, O God. Now, with your eyes closed, your heads bowed, if that's you this morning, I want you to pray this prayer in your heart. Dear God, I'm sorry that I haven't accepted myself. I realize that means I've rejected your creation. I ask you now, dear God, to forgive me. I believe that you have made me for a purpose, to bring glory to you. Thank you for loving me, for creating me and making me an original that is worthy and worthwhile and lovable. I accept how you made me. I receive your love. With every head still bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, raise your hand. Okay, thank you. God bless you. Father, seal in us what only you can do. Seal in us who you have created us to be. Your masterpiece. Your workmanship. And Father, if we need the edges ground off of us, those rough edges, then grind away. Do what you need to create in us who you have called us to be. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our praise team would come up as we close this morning. The altar is open if you'd like to come and pray. I will be here if you'd like for me to pray for you, if you would like to talk about our church or receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, anything at all, I'll be here. Let's stand, please.
Turn our lives from evil away.
church, you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now go and do them and tell someone in Jesus' name. Amen. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts.